Good morning. Here is the CBC National News, read by Alec Trebek. First, the main items. The Inter-American Peace Force, led by U.S. tanks, occupies the rebel zone in Santo Domingo. Prime Minister Wilson is due to arrive at Salisbury shortly for talks with Prime Minister Smith on the future of Rhodesia. Almost 1,000 candidates file nomination papers for the November the 8th election. Now the details. American tanks and troops of the Inter-American Peace Force in the Dominican Republic this morning occupied the rebel zone in Santo Domingo as tension in the city mounts. Edward Scott reports from Santo Domingo.
United States Army tanks led the Inter-American Peace Force into the so-called rebel zone of Santo Domingo just before dawn today, and U.S. and Latin American troops occupied the entire area. This almost unprecedented move came as the result of a request by Provisional President Hector Garcia Godoy. A statement this morning by Major David Burnett Jr., spokesman for the Inter-American Force, said that because of the grave situation existing in Santo Domingo, with repeated casualties because of the presence of armed civilians, and at the request of President Godoy, the Inter-American Peace Force today is occupying positions in the former rebel zone of Santo Domingo. There is considerable apprehension here of a clash between the Inter-American troops and armed extremist elements. Edward Scott, NBC News in Santo Domingo.
A large force of police is standing by at Salisbury Airport awaiting the arrival of Prime Minister Wilson, who will try to avert a unilateral declaration of independence by Rhodesia. Thousands of people are expected at the airport for Mr. Wilson's arrival later today. Police patrols have also been increased in Salisbury's Negro townships, where four Negroes were arrested yesterday for waving anti-government banners. Ron LaPlante in London reports further on Mr. Wilson's mission.
At this moment, the RAF Comet carrying the British Prime Minister should be approaching Nairobi in Kenya, where Mr. Wilson will have a brief meeting with the President, Jomo Kenyatta. Mr. Kenyatta is already on record as saying that in the event of a unilateral declaration of independence by Rhodesia, Kenya will withdraw from the Commonwealth. At London Airport, as he left, the British Prime Minister said bluntly he did not regard negotiations as the purpose of this trip, but rather to create or discover a climate to make negotiations possible. The most hopeful talking point appears to be the treaty offered by Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith, which would guarantee the implementation of the 1961 Constitution. But this in itself is not good enough as far as Britain is concerned, because it does not guarantee eventual majority government. Mr. Wilson said the treaty proposition will be discussed very fully and described it as a viable proposition if extended to cover other issues. Mr. Wilson said he hopes to meet all sections of Rhodesian opinion, including African nationalist leaders. Mr. Smith is not expected to meet the British Prime Minister at Salisbury Airport late this afternoon, an indication that he is determined to stick to his guns. Mr. Wilson's party of 40 includes six detectives, the largest peacetime bodyguard ever for a British Prime Minister. Ron LaPlante, CBC News, London.
This is nomination day for the November the 8th federal election. Candidates have until 2 o'clock this afternoon, local standard time, to place their names officially in the race. According to Canadian press tabulations, it is probable that 981 will be nominated for the 265 seats, well below the 1963 figure of 1,023. Only the Liberals and Progressive Conservatives will field a full slate of 265 candidates each. The New Democratic Party will come close. It has already indicated it will have 252 candidates. The Créditistes are expected to field 75 candidates, Social Credit 78, the Communist Party 12, and there are likely to be more than 30 independent candidates. Election campaign claims and denials over the possibility that Canadian forces may be sent to Vietnam are attracting considerable attention in Russia. More details from David Levy in Moscow.
The possibility of Canada sending a token contingent of troops to Vietnam if the Liberals win is being taken seriously here now as a result of the report in this morning's Pravda about the current goings-on in Canada over the issue. Mr. Pearson's refusal to table President Johnson's letter of request for troops is interpreted as a sign of Liberal intentions eventually to accede to the request. The unleashing of the Vietnamish on the election scene is attributed to Créditiste leader Réal Caouet, who visited the Soviet Union during the summer with a parliamentary delegation and made a good impression on his Soviet host, despite his rightist politics. A TASS report from Ottawa, alleging that Canadian university administrations are considering banning mention of Vietnam in teaching debates, is offered as further proof that opposition to American policy in Southeast Asia is gathering serious proportions in Canada. This is David Levy, CBC News, Moscow.
The Quebec Minister of Justice, Mr. Wagner, says he would like Dr. Guy Marcoux to present any evidence he has of bribery in the Liberal Social Credit arrangement which followed the 1963 election. Mr. Wagner was commenting on an Ottawa report that Dr. Marcoux told the RCMP yesterday that he had evidence of perjury and bribery in the arrangement by which six former Social Credit MPs pledged their support to the Liberals. Mr. Wagner added that he had written to Dr. Marcoux 2 weeks ago but had received no reply. The police in Montreal are seeking two suspects in connection with the explosion of a homemade bomb last night in the east end of the city. The blast occurred on the rear balcony of the apartment of Jean Rocheprou, an employee of a strike-bound refrigerating company. Police said Mr. Prou had received threats in connection with the strike. The explosion injured no one, but damaged the wall and balcony of the building. Viet Cong guerrillas continue to besiege an isolated special forces camp at Plai Mae in South Vietnam, garrisoned by the Vietnamese Army and by Americans. The camp has been under attack for a week. Reports from Saigon this morning say that a Vietnamese relief column has fought through a Viet Cong ambush and is approaching Plai Mae. The camp has been reinforced by parachutists, and its garrison is receiving powerful air support. During the weekend, other Viet Cong units inflicted heavy casualties on a Vietnamese Army post in the Mekong Delta. Heavy American bombers from Guam struck a jungle zone 30 miles northwest of Saigon today, where Viet Cong groups were believed to be concentrating. The U.S. Consul General in Toronto, Park Armstrong, says that his government has not escalated the war in Vietnam. Speaking in Toronto last night, Mr. Armstrong said that the United States had resisted for 4 years pressures to bomb North Vietnam. The bombing raids now, he said, are being conducted in a careful and restrained manner, directed solely against military targets. No attacks are made, he said, on civilians. The countdown is continuing according to plan at Cape Kennedy in Florida for today's launching of two space capsules. 3 hours from now, the first spacecraft will blast off, and an hour and 41 minutes later, astronauts Walter Schirra and Thomas Stafford will be launched in their Gemini 6 capsule. Later today, the manned capsule will attempt to link up with the other satellite while in orbit. The Ecumenical Council at the Vatican begins the final session today of the current assembly. It is due to end in December. Final voting is expected to take place this week on the Council's document on religious liberty. If the controversial text is formally cleared by the Council, it will mean the completion of all the more significant documents concerning the Roman Catholic Church's relations with the non-Catholic world. This is Pablo Picasso's 84th birthday. The famous Spanish painter is spending the day with his wife at his hilltop villa near Cannes, France. In spite of his age, Picasso's vitality appears undiminished. He continues to paint, often on several works at the same time. American civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King left Paris today for Atlanta, where he plans demonstrations against the acquittal of a Ku Klux Klansman charged with the murder of a civil rights worker. Dr. King cut short a European tour when he learned that an Alabama court had freed Collie Leroy Wilkins, who was charged with killing Mrs. Viola Liuzzo of Detroit. He says the purpose of his demonstrations will be to make the murder of a civil rights worker a federal offense. As part of a stunt to publicize a student charity campaign in England, five male college students claim that during the weekend they entered Princess Anne's boarding school and sneaked unnoticed into her dormitory while she slept. The 15-year-old princess is at Benenden School in Kent, where she shares a dormitory with three other girls. The students, all aged 20 and from a suburban college, said they didn't awaken anyone as they pinned up posters about the room. The headmistress at Benenden reported that someone did get into the school, but said their claim to have entered the dormitory of the princess was completely untrue. Princess Anne has a personal detective who also lives at the school. United Nations Freedom from Hunger Week in Toronto began with an interfaith Sunday service in Nathan Phillips Square. About 350 people heard Rabbi Gunther Plaut say that there can be no end to drives and appeals for money for charity, since this is the price of freedom, of having the world as our neighbors. Across Canada this week, attempts will be made to raise money for a school of nutrition in Mysore, India, headed by Dr. William Gall of Oakville, Ontario. The Ontario Water Resources Commission is continuing to make tests along the stretch of the St. Lawrence River where 3,000 gallons of carbolic acid were spilled on Friday. The acid spilled into the river following a collision between a car and a tank truck near Ivy Lee, 25 miles east of Kingston. The Water Resources Commission says that no trace of the acid has been detected at Brockville, Prescott, or Cornwall. However, New York State officials found traces at Morriston and Ogdensburg. And that's this edition of the National News from the CBC Radio Newsroom in Toronto.